So, controversial statement. I'm going to say it now. Decatapes, top five podcast of the year.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Top five.
Get the fuck out of here.
Top five podcast of the year.
Oh, God.
Dude, it was so good. There were some clear faults that we'll get into, but man.
Hold up. I had to go stir some beans, but I forgot my water bottle, and I really need some more water because it's fucking...
Why are you stirring beans?
Because a good bean is taken care of.
Beanona.
Okay?
Beanona.
Blunner. Blunner love. Okay.
Can you just go fucking get your water bottle?
Go get the water bottle, dude. Did you hear my statement?
No, I missed it because...
Go away. Go get your water bottle and we'll do it again.
I just stubbed my toe a little bit. I'm fine.
Oh, you fucking idiot, Ori.
It's actually been 6 minutes and 43 seconds.
I had to pee and feed the cat and...
You had to pee?
And yell at the cat.
Why?
Because she's an asshole.
Yo, I mean, I'm glad that the cat is there, though, and not disappeared.
She keeps meowing at me. I tell her to go fuck herself. She doesn't listen.
Oh, that's just...
I'm not a cat person, okay?
We know, Ori. We can tell.
You know what kind of person I'm not?
An Ori person?
No, the people sitting in front of a microphone and speaking for 20 minutes is an audio drama type of person.
Ah, here we go.
Sick burn, yo.
Fighting words.
I agree. That's what the show was.
I want to have a prediction really quick. Mm-hmm. I predict that I'm going to actually be in between both of you on this one. Like, I'm going to be right in the middle for this, which I'm usually kind of right in the middle for a lot of these conversations, but I'm going to be right in the middle for this one, because, AK, you really like this show, and Gus is just like, eh.
So, Ori, you missed my controversial...
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Plotcast.
You missed my controversial statement that I said. Should I tell him, Gus?
Yeah.
Ori, the Decatapes, top five podcasts of the year.
Appropriate reaction.
Dude, it was a very thought-provoking...
All right.
What's going on, everybody?
What is the Decatapes? You gotta... No, fuck that. You take it over, tell us what the Decatapes was about, and then start your fucking review.
Yeah, in traditional podcast fashion, AK, take it away.
So it's a little hard to describe what Decatapes is about.
No, it's not.
The Decatapes follows 10 individuals as... They are trying to solve... Is this a spoiler?
It's their daily... Yeah, you can't even say the part that I fucking hate about this show until we get into spoiler time. So it's essentially audio logs as daily recaps for the events that are going on in this area with these 10 people that don't go by their names. They only go by titles. So, for example, the farmer, the cook,
the cleaner.
The mystery function, the cleaner. And then these people are giving these daily updates. And so the frame of the show is that the audio logs from these people actually leaked, and it's out in the public. And so there's a big reaction to, I think they were called the DECA...
The DECA group?
Yeah, the DECA group. And so the DECA group is under scrutiny because this information leaked to the public through a whistleblower. And now we're hearing the tapes... sort of alongside the public, sort of kind of like finessed a little bit to make a story, obviously.
Yeah.
So part of the mystery relies around what's going on with the DECA group. What are these people? Where are they? What's the mystery around them? And then there's a secondary mystery as to, like, in the situation of the actual people wherever they are. Almost slipped. The people wherever they are have a secondary mystery going on that they are, like, trying to figure out what their purpose is, and they're not really sure because they're having trouble remembering everything. And then the thing that really kicks it off that I think would not really be considered a spoiler is that there is a murder on the place that they are.
Ah, yes. One of them.
Hey, Kay, that was such a good description of the show.
One of their own is murdered. The entertainer.
Rip. We never really met at all.
Yeah, we never met the entertainer. It was a little... That was one of the problems I had with the show up front, is that there's only 8 episodes, but there's 10 individuals.
Well, the entertainer and the leader never got their time to shine.
Yeah, the leader in particular never got his time to shine, which I thought was really odd and disappointing.
Kind of how I would explain it. Kind of odd. A little disappointing.
Why?
Nope, it's purposeful.
I wanted to know about the leader, though.
Yeah, but the person in charge shouldn't be the one that's, dictating how things go. And was he really the leader?
I guess we'll find out.
Bitch. So, before you get into it, AK, because I feel like you're going to talk for a while.
Not really.
I was just going to say that the show is framed in like a person sitting down to record their audio logs. And so the vast majority of each episode is someone talking, and then it's broken up intermittently, usually twice per episode, either with a news report about what's going on outside in the world or some sort of past information, revelation, audio recording from that's essentially explaining the person's history.
I was going to say, I think we can say it. All of the individuals in this confined space are prisoners. I think that's safe to say. And so...
Oh, yeah. No, you learned this stuff in the first episode. This isn't really the overarching spoilers.
Yeah, so, every episode centers around one of the individuals. And they're just basically going through the events of the day. And like Gus said, it clips between their backstory and how they got into the confined space, and basically news reports about the Decca group and what's going on with them. So the first episode starts out with the cleaner, who I found to be the most bland and the most frustrating to deal with.
Really?
He just felt like a bumbling idiot. I like pictured who he was in my head. I could see him, and I just immediately hated him. The cleaner is basically just... he's a psychopath, essentially. He's one of those, like, he seems like one of those, like, bumbling idiots who doesn't really have a good train of thought. He really just sticks on one path, and that's all he really understands, and that's kind of what he conveys. So basically, the cleaner, he cleans, as his name would present, and if he's not able to clean, or if his space is dirty, then he gets very frustrated and, borderline homicidal.
His space is the whole area. Each room he has to clean.
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody has a ritual that they have to do throughout the day, and that's their purpose. Yeah.
Everybody has instructions. When they're since they all have a title, they all have instructions, and they are to follow their instructions. And the cleaners in particular is to, use X parts of the specific cleaning material to clean the different rooms.
And they can't share their instructions, right?
They're not allowed to.
And so the let's I'm going to run through the list real quick. There's the cleaner.
Yep.
The teacher.
Yes.
The cook.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor.
Yep.
The communicator.
Mm-hmm.
The fixer. The farmer. The leader. The entertainer. And the mystery function.
Yes.
So those are all of the roles. And each episode is named after each one.
Yeah, and then you follow each of them, which is fine. I thought that was interesting. To just kind of sidetrack for a sec, a quick problem that I had with the show is that some of the backstory of how they got to this confined space were, some of them were sparse and some of them were a little bit more fleshed out, which I thought was really odd.
Like which ones?
Also, the severity of the crimes really varied. So you have homicide in terms of the cleaner and the doctor, but then you have con people in terms of the communicator, and then a bank robber in the fixer's case. It just felt like it was kind of all over the place.
It was, but I mean, one of the points is criminals are criminals. They, at this point in time, where the show takes place, it's supposed to be a little bit more futuristic. We could say that.
Yeah, I mean, we're in 2195 at least.
Yeah, so I'm guessing there's, a shit ton of people on the planet at this point, since the apocalypse didn't happen. It's coming, boys and girls. It's coming.
Oh. 2036.
But Gus, just to touch on quickly, so the cleaner's explanation of how he got to this place made a lot more sense than the communicator's did.
Yeah.
So at the end of the communicator's, it's basically like, she's a medium, and she's coming over to this dude's house, and then this police officer, who happens to be this guy's brother, is going to arrest her. Meanwhile, right. The cleaner in the first episode had somebody's head in the back of his car.
I think the theme really does this kind of stuff justice. I agree with Ori in the sense that, well, that was a weird phrase to say. I agree with Ori in the sense that the unexplained nature of how everybody ended up here and like how it's such a mixed bag really does tie into the theme of everybody is a criminal. It doesn't matter. They don't have any rights anymore. Like, you do the smallest thing, you end up here, you know?
Yeah, so what? It's like a 1985 situation?
I don't know what that means.
Like the book, 1985. You know, they're like a police-run state kind
of
deal.
This doesn't read books, and I didn't read that book.
That's kind of what the whole show felt like a mixture of 1985 and one of the vaults in Fallout.
Interesting.
That's kind of how I listened to it, how I understood the show, was if you think about those two things and you think about the progression and how it played out, it's really enjoyable and honestly quite thought-provoking.
So I really enjoyed it from the beginning. I love the premise. I love the setup. I thought it was really well done. And the whole mystery aspect and like that dual mystery really intrigued me. And then you find something out at the very end of the first episode, and I literally threw my arms up in the air and was just like, really, for fuck's sake, why? And then I was just meh for quite a while.
Yeah, but that doesn't even matter. That's just such a minuscule detail in the grand scheme of things.
Right. It doesn't. So, okay. I don't know if it's necessarily a huge spoiler. We can talk about it before we get into spoiler time. They're in space. They're on a spaceship. They're on a fucking spaceship. So my mini rant that I had when I was listening to this a couple of weeks ago was that why is every goddamn good premise for audio dramas a great premise, asterisk, but in space? Like, fucking why? You could have done this entire thing, like, I don't know, just make them be mining into the fucking earth, who knows? But like, I get why it panned out the way it did, and I do enjoy the ending based on everything, but when I first got to that at the very end of episode one, I was like, really? I'm so done with the premise but in space.
And I can agree with that. I can get behind that. The space was never a significant part of the show, so
it was a vehicle again.
Yeah, so again, you could agree with Gus and say, oh, but you know, why does it need to be in space? They're just trying to give, I think, like a scope of what's going on. And really, they're using...
It's 2135. They can't mine on Earth anymore. There's no material.
Well,
I'm glad it wasn't a big part of it. I'm super glad at the way that the mystery is panned out. And I'm so glad that the focus on space was not important. I was really worried at the end of episode one that it would be about them trying to figure out why they were in space, what was going on, where they were headed, all that bullshit that I don't care about. But it didn't go that direction, and I was very pleasantly surprised, which is why I was only meh for a little while.
The only reason they use space is because the vastness of space.
They're isolated completely.
That's really it, because Earth is a confined space. There's only so far that you can go on Earth, but space is open-ended.
When they found out that they were out in space, I really wanted somebody to find a door.
They hint at it early. They hint at a hidden door for entering and exiting.
They do.
So, I think... AK, why did you like the show? Get into that. If you can get into it without talking about spoilers, give us your review.
I really like the show because I really enjoy the dynamic and the contrast of order and chaos. I've always liked that. As you guys know, I'm chaotic neutral. That's my D&D, you know, alliance type thing. Yeah, shine brightly individually throughout the show. But outside of that, when you get to the conclusion of the show and everything pans out, it really could go into a few different directions of how you interpret everything and what's going on. And I found that so interesting and compelling to think about because you could always relay it back to modern day, to what's going on right now. You could relay it back to Fallout, like I said before. It's 1985. There were a lot of different political ideologies that they had just touched upon briefly that were enough to plant seeds in your mind, and eventually, you know, you would grow trees and sprout more ideas.
So along the same lines, I really enjoyed how it panned out. Like I said, I was kind of annoyed at first, gave it a couple more listens, and by maybe like the third or fourth episode, maybe like the fourth or fifth episode, I was back into it because I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. I like the direction that it's heading. I think you're absolutely right in the fact that it really, it's a thought-provoking show. It gets into the morality of things. It gets into the, you know, government and like how they manage people and like what people mean to the world when there's an overabundance and all this kind of stuff. And it was really, really thought-provoking in terms of a general overview of the show.
Well, yeah, they're making a statement against, you know, using prisoners as a workforce, as free labor.
Right.
The monetization of the private prison system, which is, yep, you know, extremely interesting. Cheap labor. But then at the same time, you know, this group is one big experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should go into spoiler time sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there's a lot that we need to talk about in spoiler time.
So,
this is spoiler time. Wait, before we get into that, there is, what do you think? Would you recommend the show? Talk about the quality, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you know, like Gus said, I'll be frank about it. It is exactly how he described it. It's one individual going through their audio, you know, talking into a voice recorder and just saying all the events of what's going on to that current moment. So while it's not really that depth and there's no atmosphere, there's no sound effects, there's no sound effects, I believe. And you could chalk that up to them being in space, but again, they're in a confined space. There should be some sort of sounds regardless.
How fucking good would this show have been if it were completely acted out in the moment?
It really would have actually been top five then.
I agree with you. I think it would have been easily probably my number one mystery show if it had played out in real time.
Like, it, yeah, exactly. Like, it would have taken them longer. Yes, of course. But it would have been so worth it. Because I the whole time I was listening to it, I was like, man, I really want to hear that played out. I really would, like, honestly, I had no problem with the backstory of how they got into prison. Like, those were fine. But I wanted to hear...
I thought those were good.
I wanted to hear what was being played out in the prison, not the point of view of certain inmate. Like, it would have been so good. Like you guys said, the premise, excellent. The acting was good. Like, they were good actors.
I've really loved the characters. I really loved them. Like, the cleaner was easily one of my favorites, which is surprising that you didn't like him.
Fuck that guy. Okay. He was one-dimensional and boring.
No, he was so good at what he
did. He was absolutely fucking nuts, but that's what I liked about him. He was good at being nuts.
I wanted to see all of these characters interact with each other and be in the same scene and have the struggles that they describe throughout it. And, like, think about later on when the lights go out and there's panic and there is that chaos. Oh my god, it would have been such a fantastic show.
While I agree with all of those things,
the kitchen scene in the beginning with her throwing shit all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't want to harp on it the whole time because we are reviewing the show in its current state. So what were you going to say, AK?
The thought-provoking nature that the show was able to give us, I think, surpasses all of its flaws.
I think it would have lost some of its thought-provoking nature had it been fully acted out the way that we're describing.
I don't think those scenes of the backstory of the individuals would have played out nearly as well.
Not even that. I'm thinking about in terms of morality and towards the ending. I think it would have been much more of a horror action show as opposed to raising those important moral questions had it been acted out in real time.
No, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have wanted the backstories of the characters, the calls, or what have you.
Right.
I wouldn't have wanted those played out. I think those at the beginning of the episode just to, you know, kind of explain each character as they go in.
Frame it.
Yeah, just frame it and then have the episode played out. That would have been perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have thoroughly enjoyed that if they did it like that.
But I would still recommend the show.
Oh, yeah.
The acting's fantastic. The overall themes and things that we keep hinting at that if you haven't listened to it yet, you'll want to listen to it because it makes you think much more than we're going to be able to describe when we get into spoiler time. I think it's definitely worth a listen. And even as someone who doesn't like that style of talking to a recorder as an audio drama, I really did enjoy this show.
Yeah, and we've listened to a few of those types of shows, and let me tell you, this is the best one so far. So,
oh, God. Oh, boy. All right, let's get into spoiler time.
Spoiler time! Spoiler time! If you don't want to hear it, pause this now.
Pause it. Don't go any further. No, no. Don't you... Oh, well, fine. You did it. Idiot.
Okay, so the entertainer's death is very mysterious. He's got one of the characters' jumpsuit sleeves shoved down his throat. It was pushed down there with a toothbrush. He left the key in somebody else's locker, and then there's writing on the walls that, you know, points to a different person. There's also blood on the back of the farmer's jumpsuit. It's a whole big thing. Nobody can figure out what's going on or who's behind it. And so it causes a lot of paranoia and, you know, mass panic. The teacher and the cook kind of do pair up. They find safety in numbers, essentially, to, you know, kind of be a stay woke, essentially, on the ship. They want to they want to figure out what's going on, why they're there. The cook says that she recognizes the farmer, and, you know, there's some weird stuff going on there. As we get further into it, you learn that these people are convicts. They're on a slow ship that's being sent to a different mining facility.
Extremely slow ship.
But then essentially it's a death sentence.
Yeah, it's a death sentence, because by the time that they get there, the people are going to be dead. And so the thing is that as it gets further into it, people start getting really paranoid. The cleaner acts up crazier and crazier. He eventually attacks the cook because he believes the cook knows something and she won't shut the hell up. And so as he's getting crazy and attacking her, the power in the entire building goes out completely. Everything is shut down. There's a big blue cone in the center, or was it orange? There's a big cone in the center of one of the rooms of the ship that, like, is a light, and it's supposed to say that there is, like, disorder on the ship. And so it's on there. Nobody knows what's going on. And then all of a sudden, the mystery function is having mysterious conversations behind people's back, and they start to get even more paranoid. He comes down, and he says, "All of you join me upstairs." And so they go into the elevator, and the elevator goes higher up in the ship than it normally does into this room that they weren't aware existed. I forget the name of it now, but it essentially was the Deca room.
Isn't the Deca room?
The origin room, yep. And the Deca symbol is on the podcast cover art. It's that 10-point triangle, 10-dot triangle. And it's supposed to represent equality and, you know, equivalence in all things and perfect balance. And so the mystery function essentially says that he is no longer the mystery function. He's called the priest, and he is there to kind of guide them toward the truth and enlightenment. And so he asks the group if anyone feels guilty, and for them all to raise their hand. And because the group is paranoid, they believe that the farmer did it. They all look back at the farmer, and the farmer does raise his hand. Everyone else is kicked out of the room, and the farmer and the mystery function talk. The farmer eventually comes back downstairs and says that he has decided to take a vow of silence until he can see the truth. And the mystery function appears to be manipulating him as like a puppet master. The cook gets really paranoid, and she says that she wants to start a second group of people who don't take the vow of silence, and so they're at odds with each other. The cleaner eventually attacks the cook again and almost kills her, and it's at that point that some shit starts to go down and eventually escalates to the point where the cook goes to talk to the mystery function to make peace and figure out what's going on. The truth, to summarize it all up, slowly comes out, is that the teacher is pregnant, and she realizes that her role to teach is not to teach the people on there anything. It's to teach the future generations, you know, the way of life, how to survive, and, you know, pass on the messages that they've learned from the priest. So you realize through the news reports that the slow ship is not meant to make it to this mining facility in a single lifetime. Instead, it's supposed to breed people on this ship who are mindless following drone worker drones, essentially, through these convicts. They're supposed to all have children who will essentially be a new workforce that they owe a debt to society because they're the children of convicts. And these people are brought up to be completely non-thinking. They follow the Deca order. Everyone has their role. They only know that. And so they will be the new workforce going forward. That's what you essentially learn throughout all of this stuff on the ship with the audio files and the news reports. And then we hear from the whistleblower, who gives a little bit of backstory of his own and says that while he's working at this facility, he starts noticing some of the ships are showing up with nobody inside. They didn't perform their functions and everybody died and there's just bones. And then he also notes that the people that come out of the ships are mostly grown, some are still kids, but they're just scared and they don't know anything and they don't look at you and they don't talk and they just kind of work and go about their business. So, you know, it's essential brainwashing and all that, getting into the politics and dealing with how people are valued and all that, that I think AK was referencing in the beginning. And to not draw this out any longer, the people that come out of the ship that we've been listening to the entire time are different. Because the teacher is different, and because the cook asks the priest to change her role to the entertainer, because she wants to tell people the stories of the past in order to keep that thinking and that kind of free will alive. And the people that come out of the ship are completely different. They're self-thinking, they want to engage, they want to talk, they're curious, all this, that, and the other. And so the whistleblower who experiences this realizes that the shit that they're doing is wrong. He steals the tapes, he releases them, thus the news report, and thus what we're hearing. The Deca tapes. The very final thing that's cleared up by the mystery function is his tape, where he essentially says that he was going over all of the information over and over and over again because he was worried that someone actually had killed the entertainer. But the more he looked at it, the more he understood that the information didn't make sense. It was one person's toothbrush, it was another person's sleeve, there was a lot of blood, there was a key hidden in a locker, all this that we talked about earlier didn't make any sense, didn't point to anybody, nobody knew anything, nobody was actually guilty. Instead, the entertainer was so consumed with doing his job that he was unable to keep these people entertained, that he decided the only way to actually keep them entertained was to do a murder mystery, and so he killed himself and set all of this up so that they would be quote-unquote entertained for their ship ride.
What a way to die.
And that's the ending.
Yeah, that's the ending. What a way to die, though.
Mm-hmm.
Dude cut himself, and then he shoved the sleeve down his throat with a toothbrush
until
he choked on his own vomit, and then stuffed himself in a locker, obviously, while he was dying. Very interesting way to die.
All right, so let's get into each point. Talk about the socio stuff. And
you didn't come out of that just mind blown with possible conclusions?
Not really. No.
What? I was just so interested in everything that occurred. I always go back to order and chaos, you know, at the end. But at the end with the cook, my rationale is there order, or is there just chaos, or is there that gray area? Because within the structure of what the Deca tapes had set up to this point, everybody had one role and one role only. So the conclusion that I got out of is that, I mean, necessary in a society is that you need order and chaos to really keep the balance of everything going. And I think that's why this this ship succeeded.
See, I feel that message, and I feel like it was definitely there, but for me, it wasn't as thought-provoking because I kind of figured out where it was leading.
I see.
In terms of this mystery, I figured out that, you know, they were the generations and all that stuff. And it's confirmed when the teacher is pregnant, and then you're like, oh, okay, why is this ship significant? And then it gets into the cook wanting to be the new entertainer. And so it does bring up that really interesting dynamic of what is a role, how do you define it, who can be what, essentially, in society, which was really interesting and thought-provoking. But then you have the idea that she is just telling the stories of the past because she remembers them, and nobody else is supposed to remember them. They've all been brainwashed, but she knows. And so it's like, it's that trite kind of stories will save the world and stories are important for humanity and all this kind of stuff. And like, this is just coming off of the Game of Thrones finale, which was equally, if not more so, trite in the same notion. And so it's like, it's just a very common thing to do in stories, especially, is that you focus on the storytelling as the most important thing, and storytelling will save the world. And so to me, that was just a little bit trite. And by that point, I was just like, okay, I get it. Cool message. Let's get to the actual mystery that intrigued me, which was the entertainer.
So you wanted you really wanted the story to focus around the entertainer.
Mm-mm. No, I enjoyed both aspects of it. I think, I thought it was a really awesome, empowering scene when the cook went to say that she wanted to be the new entertainer, and it threw the mystery function off big time. And like, it was so cool to see because it's challenging that role in society and what it means to be put in a role. And I loved that part, but by the time that it happened, it was just like, okay, I get it. Like, stories are important. She's going to change everything. It was cool. But to me, the part that still didn't add up was the entertainer part, and so I still wanted to know what was going on with that.
Why did you not want to hear from the leader?
I think it goes into that whole importance of a role kind of thing. I think the leader failed in his role to keep the peace, which they had talked about. I think he wasn't able to do his role, and so in this society where it's specifically from these people's perspective, the leader's role isn't important. He didn't do anything. The priest did. And it's like, is his role really important, or is he a pseudo head to keep the order, whereas the priest is the real one behind it? So like, maybe it's a commentary on religion, or maybe it's a commentary on the figureheads who are in politics. I don't know. I felt like it was a good thing that we didn't hear from him, because he wasn't in charge. He wasn't important.
I can agree with that. Ask another question. Lost my question. It was about the leader too. Oh, do you think the structure was the same on every ship?
Do you think the
what? Oh yeah. What so you think? I definitely think it was.
All the roles were exactly the same.
Oh yeah, most likely. Unless they did some experimental thing that really didn't matter. Like, those are, I would say those are all essential functions that what make society in a way. Like, you gotta have someone, all the roles, you gotta have all those roles to make it a gear and a cog or whatever.
Do you think it was important that they were convicts, or do you think that was really just an added portion of depth?
See, I think so. Something that's not explained is, did they wipe their minds? Is that, that's what they did, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but they don't explain
it. Yeah, so they wiped their minds, and you kind of lose a piece of your humanity there. You don't remember what or who you are, but for some reason you still have speech. You know, you can still
feel guilt.
You can read, you can feel guilt, and this is all you're feeling? I mean, human emotion is a crazy thing. I'm pretty sure anybody would go a little bit crazy in that situation and just, like, feeling like a robot, being made out to be pretty much a robot, is kind of crazy.
I wanted them to get more into what the cook remembered. I think for me, that might have been part of the reason why I wasn't so enamored with her becoming the entertainer is because they really never expand on what stuff she does and doesn't know. She mentions that the farmer looks familiar. She keeps calling the priest the Revenant, but we don't get into why. Why does she remember? What does she remember? What stories is she going to tell, you know?
Yeah, we don't. And that is disappointing.
You can kind of take a wild guess at what she remembers about them, because they're, you know, they're right. Stories that lead to them getting where they're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can definitely infer, but I wanted to know why she remembered the farmer and why she kept calling him the Revenant.
I have a question. What happened to the cleaner? I feel like after he attacked the cook, he disappeared from the landscape.
He took the vow of silence.
The farmer, I thought.
The farmer did it first, then the cleaner and the leader.
Oh, so everybody kind of jumped on that board eventually. And mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, everybody went along with it.
And that's what happened there.
Yeah, it's conformity and falling in line, because even the cook does it at the end, but she changes her role in exchange for following order.
What does she do?
No, I'm sure it's temporary silence, because it was only until they quote-unquote see the light.
Yeah, and they all did. I assume that the unity, like once the balance of power was back, that everyone could continue their day-to-day tasks.
Right, because he flips the switch and the lights go back on.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why I think the leader wasn't important, is because if you're looking at the Deca symbol in the origin room, the priest sat at the point of number one. It wasn't the leader that sat at number one. The leader was a figurehead.
The leader should have been the one to die.
Okay, so if we're getting into the secondary mystery, which was the entertainer thing, I fucking love that. It's genius. For me, this is the standout part that, like, it still gets into that debatability of the morality and what it means to be in a role, because this dude was so in line with his role that he literally killed himself in a horrific way in order to fulfill his function. That is it's the full extent of brainwashing. And like we talked about the control group the other weeks, is like he would be the perfect specimen because he killed himself and went to the extreme lengths to fulfill his role. And that was the really cool part, because it brought in the mystery of the murder, but it also fit both elements of the show. And that, for me, was the standout part. Not necessarily the cook, not necessarily realizing that all of these people were going to change the future. It was watching somebody be so taken over and consumed that they would do something like this, and I didn't see it coming at all. It was great. I loved it.
Do you think that he was the epitome of what they were looking for?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So all the experiments were planned. So they must have had an idea that this sort of conclusion could come about. Because
yeah, maybe.
In order. Did they just expect that, you know, that they would just fulfill their roles and that would be it?
Yeah, I think so. I think the priest was supposed to make sure that they did. And it's this kind of dystopian society where the one person who is awoken or remembers part of the past is, you know, it's the giver. It's all that kind of stuff.
Now it's the giver. I agree with that. So outside of being, you know, a metaphor for maybe the political landscape, it's safe to say we have a religious metaphor as well with the priest and then the anarchal cook. Now, would you call her somebody that doesn't believe in religion, or that conforms but then that builds upon it?
I think the religious aspect came into play more in the power struggle and where religion takes the head of the Deca symbol, as opposed to her representing the atheism. I think it just was not buying into blind belief.
These are a lot of interesting questions that we're bringing up. Very thought-provoking.
It was really cool to have a thought-provoking show at the end of it. I mean, as many tiny problems as I had with the format and all that kind of stuff, you're right to say that this is one show that sticks with you.
I mean, you could just break it down. You could think about so many different ways. I mean, the one part that stuck with me is the whistleblower brought up the fact that, you know, you go to a bar and you're just surrounded by screens, and instead of paying attention to somebody in front of you, you're just paying attention to the screens around you, which I thought was a very close to home point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot to it. For a show this short, in such short episodes, they really did have a lot to say.
It's very, very interesting. I really enjoyed the role aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Damn, I actually like this show a lot more after talking about it. I mean, I enjoyed it, and like I said, after I made it to episode 5 or 6 or so, I was really invested, and I rushed through the ending, and I loved it. But after, like, seeing all the different things we can debate with this, I'm just like, it's such a good show.
Okay, so now you're not on such a meh level.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't on a meh level after, like, episode 4.
I mean, last week when we kind of did some weird transition into this show that wasn't part of this show, you were like, we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to be like, meh. So you weren't like meh.
I was initially.
I mean, I guess. But
I'm just saying we flip-flopped. I didn't like it at first, and AK was really about the message, and I was just like, eh, screw the message. Who killed the entertainer?
But when it comes down to it, I mean,
it had a lot of different aspects of it that made it good, and then some that made it a little bit less good. But overall, I wouldn't say any of it for me was too meh. What's the definition?
So Ori, I'm gonna call your prediction bullshit because it sounds like AK and I are over
are
here
agreeing, which is
jerking each other off while you're just like, eh.
I'm sorry that I didn't join in on the circle jerk.
It's only a line right now.
but it was a good show. I really liked it for how it played out, and I really loved the premise. But again, I wanted it so bad to hear everything played out in full besides a few things.
I would still.
It would have been absolutely phenomenal if that happened. And that's the only meh thing I feel about it, because I really enjoyed listening to the show. It was easy to listen to, easy to digest, easy to follow for being a murder mystery type show. With addition of other things, and it did bring up, you know, questions and all that stuff, and it leads to plenty of things to talk about, but I would recommend it to people that are listening for a short show. So
this is going to keep me thinking for at least a few days.
Is it going to be some lines of how you're going to imprison people when you're the master of the world?
No.
I would still say that I would absolutely kill in order to experience a show that was fully acted out in the scene moment by moment.
Whoa.
I would fucking fund it right now. Let's do it.
So you would be on the ship.
What?
You'd be on the ship if you would kill.
Oh, well.
And that's how I got put into floating space prison.
Some would say, Ori, that's how you died.
Hmm. Ooh, who's fucking excited? I am. Just, you know, putting this out there. How I died. Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow? Second
trailer. Yeah. Second trailer coming out tomorrow. Except by the time this airs, it'll be 2 weeks ago.
That's right. How about that trailer 2 weeks ago? Damn it, cut that out. I'm super excited, though. It was so good.
Which character...
Yeah, we can stop recording.
...did you both resonate with the most?
In
the show.
The Deca tapes?
In the Deca tapes.
Oh, the cleaner, easily.
Okay, that's a little nerve-wracking. Ori.
I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I'd say probably the farmer. No, I don't resonate with anybody. They're all fucking nuts. No, I'd say the farmer.
Realistically, I was probably more of a fixer, like a who I am, but I was really compelled by and interested by the cook, time and time again. I'm just going over everything, and I'm just thinking.
Knock it off. Knock it off. Would you guys recommend the show? I don't think we asked you guys yet.
Yeah, 100%. Like, 100%. Even if you don't like the format, you're going to...
tell your mother to listen to it?
No. My mom doesn't like these audio dramas.
These newfangled audio dramas the kids are listening to.
That's exactly where my mind went, Gus. Thank you.
But this is a show you're going to have more questions than answers. And there have been times on this show where I hate that. Where I think it's frustrating that you don't come to a single conclusion at the end of the show because I want to feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those instances where I do feel a little empty inside because you don't really know what happens. You just can make conclusions, hypothetical conclusions. And you can only think and understand kind of the points that they're bringing. I mean, at the end of the day, while I do agree that I think this was a show that had all of these themes going for it, you know, it really could just be this one-dimensional show about these ten convicts in space and somebody dies and the murder mystery surrounding it. It's like Lord of the Flies. That's kind of that whole order and chaos thing again.
Man, that book, Lord of the Flies, that's a book I read. I had to.
Yeah, no, me too. But when you... So they, you know, they only have balance by assigned roles. There's no actual leadership and, you know, involved. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm over here, like, finger on my stop button.
I'll stop here. It's a compelling show. Yeah, that's all I can say about it. I don't know. I really enjoyed the show. And for the first time, I enjoyed it for the story more than the characters. Dude, I'm telling you, it was, I just felt so impacted by the end. Just all of these. No, I just feel like we don't listen to a lot of these shows that have these ideas that are just embedded into the core of like what the show is. Do you know what I mean? We just listen to a lot of shows that are just very straightforward. They may branch out a little bit, but this, I just feel like exploded into all of these thoughts.
Are you locked into a role? Do you feel like a drone of society?
I mean, that's a great question. Does free thinking really exist, or do we all just exist within a role? Was it though? Because your role could be the free thinker, but that means that you're in your role. These are the conclusions that I came to, and I don't, you guys are laughing, but it's such a provoking show. It's so simple in design.
I can't believe that. I'm the only one that feels this way.
Hey, see you later, Gus. AK, bye.
Where are you going? We're still talking about the show.
Oh, okay, Ori. Okay. Bye. Oh, okay.
These are the things that I was thinking about. And why did they choose mining? Very interesting.
I just think that this show is an onion, and you know, I might have to listen to it again and peel back some of the layers. I bet there are some little things in there that I really missed. Maybe
Do you think that the show is kind of a spectrum and it goes from the most extreme? Do you think the cleaner is the epitome of chaos and that the priest is the epitome of order and that everything leads up to that, to a balance? But cleaner was complacent, but he needed some sort of balance. That's what the communicator said. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. I really do think that, obviously, you know, the structure was there for a reason of who started talking first and who started talking last. And I'm going to go with the fact that it goes from the most chaotic to the most order-centric. And then it all surmises into balance. Okay, you know, I'm going to stop talking here. No, that makes sense. That was actually one of my better thoughts. Okay, you can kill Craig, Gus. Oh, now everyone muted themselves. I see. Okay. You know, it was crazy what the head of the DECA group said, though. When you think about it, there was a portion of the tail end of the show where the head individual said that these convicts weren't even people. Is that how modern day society views criminals? And does that center around, you know, the structure of, you know, the prison system in general, where it's not about rehabilitation, it's more about punishment. And then they go back, and since they're not rehabilitated, they don't really understand. They're not given any opportunities in jail. That they just go back and they just continue their cycle of their downward spiral because that's all they know. There's a lot of different things that you could pick apart and you can analyze and you can think about. Wait. Was the leader a female? Because it was 5 and 5, right? So we had the doctor, the teacher, the communicator, the cook. Wasn't the leader a guy, though? Yeah, the leader was a guy. So there was offset of balance there, because the cleaner, the fixer, the entertainer, the farmer, the leader. Did I already say the leader? No. And the what's his name? The mystery function. They were all men. I say shenanigans. I thought it was supposed to be 5 and 5, because we knew that the entertainer was a man. Okay, then I'll do it. You guys are fucking killing me.
Oh, hello there. I guess since you're here and we've stopped talking, that means the episode is over, and I should probably start doing the outro. The Plotcast was brought to you by us. Seriously. We don't have an advertiser, and we've been working hard to kind of keep it ad-free and to not have to sell you guys any Bomba socks or a website you don't really need. So if you could do us a favor, just share this show with someone who you think would enjoy it. Or go check out one of our other shows, such as How I Died, a murder mystery audio drama that we've been working on for a really long time now and is out soon. Or leave us a review on iTunes and all that good stuff. Our intro and outro music is from Nishkam Joshi on SoundCloud. And special thanks to our buddy Silent Mike Music for putting together our Spoiler Time song with lyrics from Shayna Waring. Check him out at silentmikemusic.com. And I think that's it. Cool. Thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed the Plotcast.